All right, morning, everybody. Today's daf is Kuf Nun Dalet. I want Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, and we are starting a very basic sugya today. We know, we've been discussing it, we spent an entire perek talking about the isser of having your animals work on Shabbos. Your animals are not allowed to work on Shabbos. The Torah is very clear. The Torah, actually, last week's parsha, Parshas Kisisa, go back to the Aseret HaDibros. We know that the Torah, a number of times, tells us that we and our animals both need to be Shomer Shabbos. Now, as far as we are concerned, okay, so that's something that we can control. What about our animals? So you're not allowed to have your animals engaged in any type of malacha. In fact, if you look all the way back at the fifth parak of Shabbos, an entire parak was dedicated to this topic. Ba'ma behema yotza, ba'ma ina yotza. What does the animal go out with, and what does the animal not go out with? So that is there's an issue in the Torah of having your animals work, engage in any type of malacha on Shabbos. Okay. And what if your animal does do malacha on Shabbos? So what are you going to be guilty for? What are you going to be liable for? So if you take a look at all the way back, I'm on Nun Aleph. I mean, you don't have to turn back, but I'm all the way back on Nun Aleph in the Gemara and Shabbos, beginning of the fifth parak of Shabbos. So there's a Rashi over there, and Rashi writes, "Abamam beim ayotza lefisha adam mitzuv al shvirsus behemta b'Shabbos." Person is obligated to make sure that his animal does not engage in malacha on Shabbos. Okay, and Rashi over there points out that if it's something which is protecting the animals, that's fine. That's considered clothing of the animal. And if it's something that is just simply there as a burden, so that means that your animal is going to be carrying. Now, if you take a look at that first Tosfos, so again, I'm still back on Nun Aleph on the days. So, b'ma beima yotza, Tosfos writes, Adam ozal shvisus b'amto dichsiv l'man yanuach. The Torah says that your animal should rest. Umiu lav de lo sase malacha ta v'amtecha leka. However, the fifth parak of Shabbos was talking not about a lav, not about a negative prohibition. There is a positive commandment to make sure that your animals do not work on Shabbos. There is no lav, generally, by your animal working on Shabbos. I hope that's clear. It means that if your animal works on Shabbos, let's say you allow your animal to work on Shabbos, so generally speaking, you do not violate a lav. There's no malchus, you're not going to... There's no misa, there's no chatas, none of that. But there's going to be one version of having your animals work where it actually would be a very serious offense. I mean, again, even if it's just an assay, that's a very serious offense. But I mean serious meaning we're talking about a higher level of punishment. Rav Tosfos then goes on to write, Ela b'mechamer acher behemto, if you lead your animal, meaning you direct your animal, and directing your animal doesn't have to actually be with your hands, directing your animal could be all just simply with your voice, k'demuchach b'perek mishehechshich. And where are you going to see that, says Tosfos? You're going to see that on Daf Kuf Nun Gimel, which is where we are right now. Operation Darim Daik Bahach the Hach of Cholhani de Lael the Ikadut the Dutcha the Tana Bereisha had the Salkmenev. Okay, anyway, the Tosfos goes on. Okay, so in other words, basically, if you want, you could take your animals working on Shabbos and divide it into two categories: there's general work that your animal does, which is called Shvisas Behemto, and then there's this Isser, this very specific Isser, referred to as Mechamer. Mechamer doesn't have a good translation. It comes from the word Chamor, but in other words, Mechamer is like the verb of having your donkey go in a particular direction while the animal is carrying something. So that is now a higher level of your animal working on Shabbos, and it could be that there would be an Isser Skila. An onish of skila, punishment of skila for such an act. Okay, so all that I say by way of introduction as we go now into our sugya. We're right in the middle of Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, and we're starting halfway down the Amud. We're starting with the words Amar Amar. Now, just remember, how do we get into this discussion? Because the Mishnah dealt with the following scenario. I'm walking home. It's Friday afternoon, and I realize I have a wallet in my hand. What am I going to do with the wallet? I can't carry the wallet. The wallet's muktzah. The money inside the wallet's muktzah. So what am I going to do with the wallet? So I'll hand it to a non-Jew. Okay, I'm walking home with a non-Jew. I hand it to the non-Jew. Normally, you're not allowed to instruct a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos. Okay, but this is money, and people get a little crazy over the money. The Chachamim allowed it. That was step one. What if there isn't a non-Jew? What's your next step? Put on your animal. And let your animal now carry the wallet as you are going home. And that's going to be step two. And if there's no animal, remember yesterday's daf. If there's no animal, so then chereshot v'kata. Right? In some order. Okay? And then what if there's no Chereshot V'Katan? So that was the secret. And if you remember yesterday's daf, you remember the secret in terms of what you can do. But if you don't remember yesterday's daf, good. So then, not good, not good. Right, but in other words, keep it a secret. Okay, and then at the end of yesterday's daf, we talked about Yud Ches Davar, the 18 zeros that were enacted by Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and then the editorializing of the Tanayim later on. Was it too much? Was it just enough? Okay, that was all yesterday's daf. In the meantime, however, we touched on the issue of putting the wallet on the animal and let the animal go home. Amar Mar, we are now in the Gemara inside. Eini monachrim and ichal chamor. Put on your donkey. So here the Gemara asks the basic question. So now we're talking about the Isra of Mechamer. You're loading your animal. You're causing your animal. You're directing your animal to move in a particular direction. So this isn't just Shvisas Behemto, as we discussed in the beginning of the Daf. This is one step above that. This is the Isra of Mechamer, and the Torah says, Lo Sasa Kol Malacha. This is bona fide Chilul Shabbos. So how can we allow such a thing? So Amar Avada Ba'ava. So we're going to now give technical answers, right? Everyone understand. The question is extraordinarily basic. Meaning, we're talking about the carrying of a wallet. The wallet is muksa. And I understand, you can't carry it because that would be a violation of Shabbos. But putting it on your animal is no better. You haven't gained anything in terms of Isra Shabbos. So how do we allow it? How do the Chachamim allow it? So we're going to now engage in a whole series of technical answers, but really the question is fundamental. So our first technical answer is, well, don't put it on the animal while the animal is stationary, because remember, we did this day one of Masechta Shabbos. Every time that you have to violate the Malach of Hotza'ah, it needs an Akira, it needs a Hanacha. Meaning it needs to start from a stationary point, it needs to rest and stop on a stationary point, and there has to be transfer in the middle. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is simply, load the animal while it's in transit. And so therefore there's no formal Akira. So the Gemara says, V'ayyefsha delokayim lahashin mayin lahato galalim, v'ika Akira v'hanacha. Animal needs to make pit stops. So every time the animal makes a pit stop, so then that means that the item that you put on the animal has now come to rest. And now when the animal moves from its pit stop, so now we've had a formal Akira, and we're going to have another pit stop along the way. We're going to have then another Hanacha. So how are you going to avoid the pit stop? So the Gemara says, Kishim Alechas, Menich Olao, Ukishim Alechas, not Lahaymena. So the Gemara says, right before the animal makes a pit stop, I guess you know your animal really well, and you know the animal's about to stop. So right before the animal comes to a complete stop, so take the item off the animal. So now these are technical answers. So now basically you have avoided the Akira, you have avoided the Hanacha, and so therefore that's how we're going to get the wallet back to the house without violating the Isra of Hotzar, because even though the animal's carrying the wallet, but with no Akira, with no Hanacha, and so therefore technically you didn't violate the Isra of Hotza on Shabbos.
Isn't the person himself bringing an Akira on Hanacha by lifting it?
But it has to be stationary, meaning something has to be stationary. In other words, if you're picking it up yourself, so you picked it off the stationary ground. But if you're picking it off a moving animal, so that's not stationary.
If you lift it up from someplace to put it on
the I understand animal. That, but we're looking at, I mean, you also have to see the wallet in perspective of the animal. And the wallet's moving right now. Okay, these are technical answers. So it's muksa. In other words, right, but the Gemara noted that it's muksa, but it's money, and Adam Bahul al Mamona, people get crazy about their money, so we're going to just override the Isra of muksa. Isra of muksa is an Isra Durabana. So we're going to override the Isra of muksa, but, in other words, they're going to get the wallet home, and without you having to carry the wallet. So the Gemara says, okay, good. So technical answers in terms of why it's not why you didn't violate the Malach of Otsa, because you didn't do an Akira and you didn't do a Hanacha, wonderful. But why do you need an animal? Meaning, do the same thing and do it with your friend. Okay, so in other words, and we don't need a non-Jew over here, get another Jew, walk home with another Jew, and pass it back from one to another, load it on him while he's in transit, so now there was no formal Akira, take it off him right before he stops, now there's no formal Hanacha, so why do you need an animal? Do it with your friend. So Amar Rav Papa, Kol she'beguf al-chayv chatos be'chaver patar aval aser. Kol she'chaver patar aval aser behemto mutar lechatchila. So the Gemara says, look, here's why. Because if you did it yourself, and you'd be chayv a karban chatas, so vis-a-vis your friend, patar aval aser. Meaning that, look, we're ready to downgrade, but there's only so much we're going to downgrade. if you're absolutely right. I could do this with a chaver. I could put it on him while he's moving. I could take it off before he stops. And so therefore there's no formal akira and anacha. All that's true. But it doesn't go from being an issur d'oraisa down to zero. It goes from being an issur d'oraisa to an issur d'rabbanan. That's if I involve another person. Now if I involve an animal, since an animal is already now downgraded one level, so therefore if it's for a person, it's also mid'rabbanan. For an animal, it'd be mutter legamre. Okay, so that's that's where we go right now. So how have we helped ourselves over here? Loading an animal, having the animal walk in a particular direction, and leading the animal while the animal is carrying something. So now we've introduced ourselves to the issur of mechamer. How great an issur is it? Stay tuned, because the Gemara later on will point out. But it's a very serious issur. So to the question of the Gemara, how then does all this help? How can loading your animal with the wallet be of any help? How does it save you from any issur Shabbos? And the answer is, technical answers. I put it on the animal while it's moving. I take it off the animal before it comes to a halt. So therefore, there was no akira, there was no hanacha, and that is how we get the wallet home. The Gemara says, now, let's say the following scenario were to occur. You are walking home, and it's right now, it's Friday afternoon. And you have a chavila, you have a bundle on your back. And as you're walking home now, the sun sets, so now it's Shabbos. So what do you do? So interestingly enough, the worst thing to do is stop. Don't stop. Because once you stop now you're in a position of hanacha, you're munach. Your next step after Shabbos will now constitute an akira. And the next time you come to a halt, that would be a hanacha. So the worst thing to do is to stop. Don't stop. In fact, says Rav Ada Ba'ava, run home. And he's very specific. Run home. What if you run out of gas? What if I'm saying, what if you get winded? But don't. In other words, don't stop. Run, don't walk. My time came to Leslie Hekerasalamavit Akiravanacha. Gemara says, because if you're walking and you're just casually walking home, so you're not gonna remember, you're gonna lose yourself, you're gonna forget that you're carrying something, you're gonna forget Shabbos, you're gonna pause. Now that you pause, so now you have officially your next step will now be an official Akira. The next time you stop will be an official Hanacha. So don't do it. So the Gemara says that's gonna be your solution. Okay, so Friday afternoon, lo aleinu should never, I mean, we're all living in an Arab community, but if it should ever happen that you are carrying something on Friday afternoon, so, and Shabbos has now arrived, and you're still carrying the item, so the worst thing to do is stop, don't stop, keep running, and specifically run home. The Gemara says, okay, so if sof kimata labesi, afshad lo kai porta, v'kamayel merishos harabim l'rishos hayachid. So the Gemara says, okay, but when you get home, however, here's the problem. You're not going to be able to run into the house. You're going to have to stop to open the door. Okay, now. So you stop to open the door. So now what happens is that you are outside the house, paused. You then go inside the house. So now, no Dala Amos is no longer an issue. Now, you actually transferred from Rishos HaRabim to Rishos HaYachin with an Akira and with a Hanacha. So what do you do then? So the Gemara says, "Dezarik lei kalachar yad." So you flip the knapsack off of you in an unusual fashion. Rashi writes, "Shalok kederek zrika kigon mikteifav lachorav." You know, throw it over your shoulder, says Rashi. So in other words, so now you've unloaded in an unusual manner. So therefore, you will. That's the nisur derabbanan, the nisur deraisa, and that is what you do. Okay, ad kan. All right. So we have now strategies in terms of how to get a package home. If in fact you find yourself walking with a package home, Shabbos comes, so what do you do? So what we just learned. Good. And now the Gemara here for an Amud, meaning from here to the bottom of the Amud, and for all of Kuf and Dal Amud Aleph, is basically going to discuss one issue and one question. We have now learned together that there's an issue called Mechamer. And as we learned in Tosfos all the way back on Daf Nun Aleph, there basically are two levels of animals working on Shabbos. There's a general Shvisas Bamto, which is generally the fifth parak of Shabbos. That, says Tosos, is an Isser Aseh. That's a positive commandment that your animal must rest on Shabbos. So therefore, you cannot load your animal on Shabbos. And then there's one above that, which is called the Isser of Mechamer. The Isser of Mechamer is not only do you load your animal on Shabbos, but you give the animal specific directions of where it should go. And once you lead the animal that's loaded and laden, so then you're violating now a higher form of Shvisas Behemta, which we're going to call Mechamer. Exactly how Usser is Mechamer, so this is now the question. And this will take us through the bottom of the Amud, all the way through Kuf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. And the Gemara starts off, next part. Amar Rami Bar Chama. Okay, so we're going to have Rami Bar Chama. We're going to have him two times. We're going to have version one, version two. So first we see version one. Amar Rami Bar Chama. Amar Chama. Archa Behemta B'Shabbos B'Shogei. Chayv Chatas B'Mezid. Chayv Skila. So our opening line regarding the Isser of Mechamer is, it is absolutely prohibited. We're talking about a capital crime. Much like violation of Shabbos itself is a capital crime, you do any one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos or its subsidiary to Lados, you're violating a capital crime on Shabbos, subject to Skila. Same thing is true with Mechamer, subject to Skila. And if you do a Bishogeg, meaning let's say you forget it's Shabbos or you forget that it's Aser, so then you're going to be Chayv a Karban Chatas. It is bona fide. It is just as Aser as any one of the Avos, of the Av Malachos of Shabbos. So my time, Amar Avad, Amar Kar, Lo Saser Ko Malacha, Tal Vemtecha. So the Gemara says, and I'll tell you why. It's very simple. Because if you look at the Pesukim, you'll see the Pesukim inside speak specifically to the idea that it is a bona fide Isser Daraisa. The Torah says that we are in the Aseret HaDibros. Right? Yeah. Yamashi Shabbat Hashem Elokecha lo saaseh kol malacha ata vincha vitecha avdecha v'amascha uvehemtecha v'gercha asher b'sharecha. So it's one of the Aseret HaDibros. We generally understand that any one of the Aseret HaDibros is, generally speaking, capital crime. So we're talking about real Chilul Shabbos. So, Behemto Domya Didei. And the Torah makes a hekesh. The Torah says it is as chamor as you violating Shabbos. Mahu b'shogeg chayev chatas b'meizid chayev skila. Behemto nami b'shogeg chayev chatas b'meizid chayev skila. Okay, so we have Rami Bar Chama, and we have version number one of Rami Bar Chama, which is that it's not only is an Issa Daraisa, subject to a capital punishment of skila, and if done b'shogeg, chatas.
But I think for him to get skila, right, the witness actually have to warn him with a negative prohibition. What is a negative prohibition?
Negative prohibitions. Don't violate Shabbos. It'd be no different than him doing a malacha.
But the pasuk that they're going to quote is going to be this pasuk.
Yeah, you quote the Aseret HaDibros. So Amma Rava Shtei Chuvas Bedava. So Rava says two questions. Number one, Chadidichsiv Tarachas Yelachem Lo Sebishkaga VeHanefesh Eshetase Biyad Harama. The pasuk regarding violating Avodah Zarah. Okay, this is placed in Parsha Shlach, at the end of Parsha Shlach. So the Torah says that you can't worship idolatry. And if you do, so you'll get cut off, meaning kares. So, hukshu kol haTorah kula l'avodah zarah. We have a general assumption that this creates for us a precedent. Meaning, and what's the precedent? Ma avodah zarah davin ma'isa begufei hachana ma'davin ma'isa begufei. That capital crimes are crimes that you do with your guf. Meaning you have to actively do something. So it's true by avodah zarah, by avodah zarah. You have to either do shechita or zrika or ishtachavai or bowing down. It has to be something that you do with your body. So any capital crime in the Torah has to be something that you do with your body. Mechamer, so granted you loaded the animal, but that's not the Isser. The Isser is not loading the animal. It's then instructing the animal verbally where to go and to move. So that's not begufo. That's not something that you do with your body. So that's something which is verbal, and generally speaking, you're not gonna be chayev skila for something that you're not doing with your body.
Right,
megadev, right? That's megadev is an exception to the rule. Well, like with any rule, there are exceptions, but that's a good question. And furthermore, we have a Mishnah. And the Mishnah says that if you're Mechal Shabbos, and specifically, how are you Mechal Shabbos? With something that you'd be Chayv for Karban Chatas if you did it inadvertently, or if you did it B'mezid, you're going to be Chayv Skila. Now, two Gersos over here, you're going to be Chayv Skila, you're going to be Chayv Karis. Either way, the point is that there is a category of Chil Shabbos that has both of these, Mechlal, which implies the Ika, Midi, De'en Chayavin, Al Shegagaso, Chatas, Va'al, Velo, Al Zdonos Kila, which gives the implication that there's another category of Chil Shabbos where you don't have these punishments, meaning it would be Chil Shabbos, but the punishments are not Skila and Chatas. Or Maidehu. So what is it? Meaning, what would be this mystery Chil Shabbos that categorically doesn't fit under Skila and Chatas? So the Gemara suggests, lav de Mechamer. It must be the lav of Mechamer. So what do we have now? We have two questions by Rava. Rava cannot imagine that for the Isser of Mechamer, of leading your animal while it has a burden on it, that you'd be chayv a skila if you did it b'mezid, and you'd be chayv chatas if you did it b'shog. It can't be. Number one, you didn't do anything. Question number one, call it grama. You didn't do anything. And question number two is that we know that there's such a thing categorically as chil Shabbos where there's no skila and there's no chatas. So what categorically would fit there? So the Gemara says, presumably, we're talking about the Isser of Mechamer. I mean, what else is there? So on the second question, the Gemara says, that second question doesn't bother us so much. So, lo tchumim aliba de Rabbi Kiva, havar aliba de Rabbi Yossi. I'll give you two suggestions, says the Gemara, of Chil Shabbos, where there is no capital punishment, where there is no skila. Number one, the Isser of tchum. You're not allowed to go out of your boundaries on Shabbos. You're not allowed to travel more than 2,000 amos on Shabbos, outside of the city limits. Okay, and 1 week from now, we're going to learn Erevin. That will be our topic of discussion. Although, not the first parak. The first parak is all about Mavoi. But okay, in other words, but when we get to Erevin, we're going to discuss this at length. According to Rabbi Kiva, now Rabbi Kiva is a singular opinion. Most are not in agreement with Rabbi Kiva. But according to Rabbi Akiva, Tchum is an Isser da'araisa. So that if you walk beyond 2,000 amos on Shabbos, you are subject to Chil Shabbos. But even according to Rabbi Kiva, it's not chayv skila. You're not chayv a carbon chatas, meaning it's an issa d'araisa, but without skila and chatas. So that's one suggestion of being a mechal Shabbos where there aren't the punishments. Another suggestion, making a fire. According to Rabbi Yossi, you make a fire on Shabbos. Now, making a fire on Shabbos is one of the 39 malachas. Right. But according to Rabbi Yossi, it's only a lav. It's only a negative prohibition. So how does he know that? So listen carefully to Laning. Hopefully you listen carefully on Monday. If not, listen carefully tomorrow. And if you don't do that, so you have Shabbos. You have two more opportunities. Okay, lo sivaru ish b'chol moshvasechem b'yom HaShabbos. You're not allowed to light a fire. That is the only malacha that's explicitly mentioned in the Torah. Why is that the only malacha explicitly mentioned in the Torah? So you remember, because we did this already a couple of times, debatable why that's the only malacha. But according to Rav Yossi, it is the only malacha mentioned in the Torah because it's the exception. All other malachas in the Torah, when you violate them, you're subject to skila. But for havar, for lighting a fire, it's a negative prohibition, it's a law, but it's not skila. So I have two suggestions in terms of what categorically would be able to fit into Chil Shabbos that doesn't have skila nor chatas. And that would be either tchum according to Rabbi Kiva, havar according to Rav Yossi. So that second question of Rav is not it's not a bomb question. Okay. So we have now version number one. We're up to now today's Daf Kuf Nundalid. We're starting at the very top of the Amud. Version number two of Rami Bar Chama, let's review according to version number one, according to Rami Bar Chama. If you're a Mechamer, if you lead your animal, you direct your animal where to go on Shabbos while the animal is carrying something, so that is bona fide Chil Shabbos. I say bona fide, meaning with skila, with a carbon chatos. Okay, that is version one of Rami Bar Chama. Rav Zvid Masni Hachi. We have version number two of Rami Bar Chama provided to us by Rav Zvid, and that is Amar Rami Bar Chama, Mechamer Achar Behema, B'Shabbos, B'Shogeg, Einu Chayev Chatas. B'Mezid, Chayev Skila. He makes a split. So, if you inadvertently violate the Isser of Mechamer, so, nothing.
Hook.
you're off the hook. You don't have to bring Kamar Chatas. But if you do it intentionally, you're going to be Chayef Skila. Now, obviously it's a very strange position. You could very well argue, which the Gemara is about to do, that they're correlated. The two are tied together. Yeah. The Isser Skila and the Chayef Skila and the Chayef Kamar Chatas go hand in hand. You could have argued that, but according to the second version, no. Now, why make this split? So take a look at Rashi, because Rashi explains beautifully. Rashi says, the very top of the Amud, Einu Chayef Chatas, Di Alfina Me'avod Azara, Da'ada Avid Ma'isa Begufe. Because you're not going to be Chayef Kamar Chatas because we go to the end of Parsha Shlach. Where there, the Torah tells us that you only are warranted to bring a Kamar Chatas if I do something with my body. But if I'm not doing something with my body, I'm not going to be Chayef Kamar Chatas, so therefore no Kamar Chatas. What about the Yisr Skila, the Chayef Skila? So take a look at that next Rashi. So there Rashi says, Hekish, because we have of the Pasuk and the Aser Sedebros, where the Torah says, Lo Sasa Komalacha, Atau Vincha Vitacha, Vavdacha, Vamascha, Vahemtacha, Vagercha, Shebesharacha. So we have a Hekish that tells us that just as you cannot violate Shabbos, neither can your animal. Which is speaking specifically about Mechamer, which leaves us now with the conclusion that if you willfully violate the Isser of Mechamer, you're subject to the Isser of the Chiyuv of Skila. Okay, so that's why, according to version number two, we have a split. It satisfies the Psukim and Shlach, and it satisfies the Hekesh of the Aseres HaDibros. Mesiv Rava. So now Rava is going to challenge based on a brisa. The brisa says, "Hamechal says Shabbos v'davar shechayav nashkiga sochatas chayav nals donoskila." This brisa makes it sound like they're married, right? Strange marriage, but they are married, meaning that the punishment of skila is connected to the requirement to bring a carbon chatas. So it makes it sound like where there's one, there's the other. And if there's not one, then there shouldn't be the other. So that's the assumption going into reading the Braisa, that they're connected. According to our second version of Rami Bar Chama, you can't have this split decision. So the Gemara says, okay, reread the Braisa. The Bryce is telling us not that it's not an exclusivity. It doesn't mean that the only thing that exists are Chil Shabbos that have Skila and Chatzis. It means simply that Yesh V'Yesh. Sometimes you have Chil Shabbos that has both Skila and Chatzis, and sometimes you have a split. That's all it means. Okay, so far now we have two. So, if I violate the Isra Mechamer on Shabbos, I have two versions of Rami Bar Chama. According to version number one, Chil Shabbos, Skila, and Chatas. According to version two, Chil Shabbos, yes Skila, no Chatas. Okay, and now we're going to have a third opinion, but this doesn't come to us via Rami Bar Chama, this comes to us via Rav Yochanan. Rava, Achua de Rav Mari Baracha. So Rava, who is the brother of Rav Mari Barachal, Ve'amrila Avua de Rav Mari Barachal, and some have it as the father of Mari Barachal. Now, the Gemara takes a moment. This is just a tangential statement of the Gemara. It's very important, don't get me wrong, but it's tangential. Lalishna Basra, now we have, according to the second version, Rava being the father of Rami Barachama, Mari Barachel, Kasha Hadarav Achshariler of Mari Barachel Umanye Bepurse Debavo. It's difficult because we know the following. Let me give you a little background information. There's an Amora that we see time and again throughout Shas, and his name is Mari Barachel. Okay, Mari. Okay, popular Jewish name. So that's basically who we're speaking about over here. Mari Barachel. Now it's odd that his father is not mentioned, meaning he's Mari. Right, son of Rachel. Now we know, we learned enough Gemara to know, anytime you have an Amor introduced to us, it's always he goes by his father's name. And over here, oddly enough, interestingly enough, he doesn't go by his father's name. He's known as Mari, the son of Rachel. So who's his father? So Rashi tells us, we know throughout the Gemara, we see this often. His father was a convert. He was a ger. Okay. Let's say it like this. Who's his grandfather? So his grandfather is none other than Shmuel. right? Shmuel, Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva of Naharda, one of the first generation preeminent Amoraim, right? Same, put him in the same generation and the same status as Rav. So his grandfather was Shmuel. Shmuel's daughters were taken captive, right? Terrible story. Shmuel's daughters were taken captive, and one of them was impregnated. And the father at the time of conception was not Jewish. And later on, he then converted, and then he married her, and odd story. But it turns out now that Rav Murray, whose father, his biological father, wasn't a Jew at the time of procreation. And so that means now that, in terms of Yichus, and just also in terms of not wanting to embarrass him, so therefore, instead of saying he's Rav Murray, the son of Esther Giura, so he goes to the mother. Mari Baruch.
Even after the father converts, they don't have a link anymore because he converted.
Agreed. Right, absolutely correct.
How is
Rava the brother? So it could be that she married a bona fide Jew. So in other words, half brothers.
Afterwards?
No, half brothers. Afterwards.
She married somebody else.
Right. Presumably. That could be a simple explanation. And so now, so that's all the background information. And so now, Rav comes along and Rav says he gave him a political appointment in Bavel. And he allowed him to be a poor state. Poor state, Rashi says, some sort of minister, some sort of police officer or chief of police, whatever the position is, he gave him an appointment. Now, we know, as a general rule, is that all appointments, in other words, all leadership positions, so you need to be not only Jewish, but also born of a Jew. Okay, Rashi quotes the drasha. Again, all this comes by way of tangent. This is not really our main issue for today, but I'm just explaining the Gemara so you understand what's going on over here. Now, his mother was Jewish, but his father, at the time of conception, not a Jew, and later converted. So now, the question is a very simple question. So we know this halacha that you cannot be a ger to get a leadership position. Granted. So but Rav Murray's not a ger. He's the son of a Jew. The fact that his mother's Jewish, is that enough? So the question went all the way to Rav, and Rav's answer is, yes it is. That's fine. In other words, so call him Simos, Shata Mesim, right? The pasuk says, Som Tasim Alecha Melech. And any time that you make any type of appointment, it has to be somebody who is not a ger and not the son of a ger. And so, question is, was it enough that his mother's Jewish? And Rav's answer was, yes, that's enough. Now we have two versions of who he is. According to the second version, Rava is the father. According to the second version, by the way, I have a very basic kasha. If Rav is the father, so why not say that he's Rav Murray, son of Rava? Okay, but the Gemara has a much subtler question, which is, if Rav is the father, so then why are we asking Rav about the appointment and the position? And the Gemara says, quite frankly, that's difficult. Meaning, I don't know. I don't know why we went to Rav and why we had to ask Rav. And the Gemara says, it's difficult. But meanwhile, we're back at the ranch, the Gemara says, Dilmotre Mari Baruch Lahave. So it could very well be, says the Gemara, that two Mari Barachels, one's the brother of Rava, one's the son of Rava. Okay, anyway, all this came by to us via tangent, and now let's get back to the basic issue, which is, you are Mechamer on Shabbos, and now you're subject to what punishment? Havimastin ala Hashmaitzim, Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, and he quotes Rabbi Yochanan, which is, Liftor, you are exempt. It's Chilul Shabbos, but in terms of punishment, no skila, no chatas, not even malchus, nothing.
Any
permutation of how you're mechamer, there's not going to be a single punishment. Now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan haMechamer chabehemta b'Shabbos patam miklom. You're going to be exempt across the board. Number one, b'shogeg lo mechayev chatas tuk shekol haTorah kulo lavod hazara. So first of all, in terms of, let's say you're Mechamer B'shogeg. You forgot today was Shabbos. And you went ahead and you loaded your animal and you directed your animal verbally. So there we have the Avodah Zarah Pesukim, which tells us that in order to be Mechamer Chatas, you have to do something begufo. You have to violate an Isser with your body. Number two, b'meizin amel amechayv d'tnan amechal shabbos b'davar shechayv anoshik gasar chatos v'alz donos kila. Wait, just one second. Ha'ein chayav anoshik gasar chatos, ha'ein chayav anoshik donos kila. So as far as now the Isser of Skila is concerned, so he understood the brisa that we quote on the top of the Amud as a correlation, as a connection. If there's chatas, then there's Skila. If there's no chatas, then there's no Skila. And the Gemara later on will point out, what are you going to do with the Pesukim? Okay, that's we'll come back to that. And Balav Nami La Mechayev, now what about this? Okay, so you're Mechamer. So, as we've now just established, there's no Karmen chatas. There's no Chiyuv Skila. Okay, but what about this? The Torah says don't do it. So why not at least get Malkus? Not that we want to, but in other words, just from a technical standpoint, the Torah says not to do something, and you did it. So isn't there at least Malkus? So the Gemara says no. Because the primary focus of the Torah, when the Torah says don't violate Shabbos, is going on Mises Beis Din, is going on Skila. And we have a general rule, the Gemara in Makos speaks about this at length, which is that when the Lav is generally focused on Skila, I can't take that Lav now and apply towards Malkus. And the Gemara hedges a little bit on this. Vafilaman Damra now on the top of Kufnin Dal Amud Beis Vafilaman Damra Lokin. And even according to the one who says you get Malkus, Lichtev Rachman Alo Sasa Komalacha Uvemtecha. Meaning, if that were really the case, the Torah should have said that don't do Malacha, you and your animal. Meaning, take out the word Atah. Now, even, you understand the Gemara is doing a little cut and paste over here. But the point the Gemara is making is that why did the Torah have to go out of its way to say Atah? Atah Lamali, Hu Niu Demechayev, Bamto Lamechayev. The only liability goes on when you violate Shabbos, but if your animal violates Shabbos, so it's a different, it's categorically different. We compartmentalize. And we say that yes, you're a Mechal Shabbos for doing so, but no, you're not subject to anything. Not Skila, and not even Malkus. Okay. Adkan, so let's just quickly summarize. Now we have three basic opinions in the Gemara. So you're Mechamer on Shabbos. So first of all, how does one be Mechamer? So by putting something on the animal, and then verbally instructing the animal where to go. Or you don't even have to put something on the animal. Presumably, it'd be true. Even if something were on the animal, and you're directing the animal where to go, where to walk, like the case of the wallet, where you want the animal to take your wallet home on Shabbos. So once you give it verbal instructions of where to go, so you are now violation of the Isser of Mechamer. And if you're violating the Isser of Mechamer, so what are you subject to? What punishments are you subject to? So we have three opinions in the Gemara. Rami Bar Chama version number 1, Rami Bar Chama version number 2, and Rabbi Yochanan. According to version number 1, Rami Bar Chama, Skila and Chatas. According to version number 2, Skila but no Chatas. According to Rabbi Yochanan, not Skila, not Chatas, and not even Malkus. Okay, yeah, and who do we, whose position is taken? Is taken as a halacha, I assume Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, and I see it's by the Rambam. I did not look up the Rambam, but I'm going to assume like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan usually trumps all other Amoraim. Okay. Higil Achatzar Chitzana, we're back to the Mishnah. We're now back to explaining the Mishnah. You're at the outer courtyard, meaning, so now you got your wallet back to the back to your house. Or not even into the house, just to the Chatzar, just to the outer Chatzar. Once again, we're talking, the first option is to give it to a guy. You don't have a guy, so put it on your animal. So now we're talking about unloading the animal. So how do you unload the animal? So you remember what the Mishnah taught us? So if not, let's go back. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's review the Mishnah. We're back on Kufnin Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, you get to the Chatzar Chitzona. I'm reading the Mishnah. No tel esa kelim, ani telem b'shavis. So any of the non-muksa kelim, you just simply pick it off the animal. V'she'ein ani telem b'shavis. Now what about the muksa kelim? Matir chavalim, untie the rope, which is tying it, which is connecting it to the animal. V'asakim noflim me'aleihem. And let it fall to the ground. Well, just one second. So he gia lachaser chitana am ravuna haisa behemta tuna klizachuchis. Now what if
glass.
It's glass? Fragile. It's going to break. Now you don't want it to break. So what do you do? So Ravuna says, here's what you do. Maybe karmic sasas maniach tachtah umater chavon vasakim noflim. So he gives a simple piece of advice, which is put pillows underneath the animal and let the glass fall on the pillows and break the fall of the glass, absorb the shock. Yeah, I know there are going to be a host of issues. I'm going to put you on hold for just a second because you're probably going to guess all the issues that are coming up. And let the glass fall on these pillows, break the fall of the glass, and hopefully the glass does not break. So the Gemara says, first of all, if they're glass utensils, so why don't you just simply take it off the animal? Meaning, assuming, presumably, they're not muktzah. Meaning, let's say it's like a glass cup. That's fine. So take it off the animal. So the Gemara says, Kikama Ravuna Bekarni Duamana Delochazile. So the Gemara says that we're talking about the blood letters tool. Right? He had some sort of glass tube, right? What's it called? A pipette. Right. Okay, lancet, whatever it is, and that's muksa. Now, why it's muksa? So it's funny. Before Rashi, if you would have asked me, I would have said it's klish malachalis, or I would have even added to that. I would have said muksa machmas chisaron kiss. Okay, it's his instrument. He wouldn't use the instrument for anything else. I doubt. I made myself laugh. I doubt he would take this instrument and use it. You know, in other words, he doesn't have a cup. Okay, no problem at all. I'll just simply take the pipette that I used to collect blood. And I'll wash it out good and I'll drink from it. Like I doubt that'll happen. So in other words, I would have put it under the category of muksa machmas chisaron kiss. If you look at Rashi, I don't know if I'm arguing with Rashi. First of all, I'm arguing with Rashi. That's a nonsense statement. But in other words, I don't know if Rashi's saying that. Rashi writes, I'm reading Rashi, make his dam a she'ein ru'uyim b'shabbos l'klum lefishim mi'usim. So Rashi says it's mius. It's repulsive. It's disgusting. So in other words, muksa machmas mius. It's just simply disgusting. Okay. It could be we're saying the same thing or whatever. Anyway, point is
maybe then you would assume you could do it.
Okay. The larger point, of course, is that it's muksa, and that's why you just simply can't take it off. Okay. So that's issue number one. Good. So now we know it's muksa. So now you're letting it drop on the pillow. Now, when it falls down on the pillow, what's now happening to that pillow? The pillow now becomes a base of muksa. Mm-hmm. And I've immobilized the pillow. Immobilization of the pillow, this is what's called being mavato kli me'echano. Mm-hmm. And this is now the next problem of the Gemara. V'haka mavato kli me'echano. Haven't you immobilized the pillow? And now, that you can't do on Shabbos. Now, why not? So, right, I see that was his discussion of the day. You take a look at Rashi over here, it's very similar to the Isser of Soser, right? Deconstruction, right? Destruction, meaning because the pillow, which was a usable item, is now no longer usable. So it's like Soser, says Rashi over here. If you look back on Daf Mem Gimel, Rashi over there says just the opposite, it's bonus, because by immobilizing it now, I'm basically securing it to the ground.
But can a pillow function as a basis? It's so
soft. So the Gemara's answer is basically b'shulfei zutre. The answer of the Gemara is b'shulfei zutre. The way Rashi explains it is the following. Is that what you're going to do is that after it lands on the pillow, you're going to just basically now tilt the pillow to the side, assuming that the drop is not a long drop from the pillow to the ground, and basically let these glass pipettes fall to the ground, and now you have not immobilized the pillow. Maysa the Gemara challenges Haisa Bamta Tuna Teva Vashashios Matyas Achavan Vasakan Oflin Vafapi. Shemish Tabrin. Here the Brisa says that if you have glass on your animal, so you untie the saddle, let the glass fall to the ground, and if it breaks, all right, it breaks. But in other words, why not do what Rav Huna suggested? Put the pillows underneath. Hasan Bikusa, the Gemara says, yeah, but there we're talking about not just any glass. We're talking about large pieces of glass, meaning it's unprocessed glass. And the Gemara says, look, what was it categorized with? With tevel. Tevel was untithed produce. That's not a kli. So the glass also in question is unprocessed. And so what's the big deal if it breaks? Anyway, we were going to break it down. And the Gemara says, if you're right, so then who cares if it breaks? Why is that even a consideration? The Gemara says, well, the Gemara calls it a hefsed muat. All right, in other words, it is a little bit of hefsed. Right, maybe that's the issue. In other words, it's true that you're going to break it down anyway, but you may have broken it down a little bit differently. Okay, it's a hefsed muat. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer Haisa behemta tuna shlif shel tvua. Let's say your animal has a sack of grain. Meniach rosho tachta umesakol tzad acher vehu nofel me'elav. So what you do is you unload it and you use your head. You basically, with your head, push it to the side. Remember, we talked about this. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Could be that the Isser of Muksa is only with your hands. It could be that there's no Isser of Muksa of kicking something with your feet or moving something with your shoulder, or in this case, you know, with your head, right? Soccer star, and you moved it with your head. V'chamar shel Rabbi Gamliel ha'isa tuna dvash, and the Gemara gives a scenario of the donkey of Rabbi Gamliel, which was going into Shabbos laden with honey, right, a barrel of honey. V'lo ratzel l'porko on Motzei Shabbos, and he didn't want to untie it. So he left his animal burdened with the honey sack over the course of the entirety of Shabbos. And the story does not have a pleasant ending to it. Lemotzei Shabbos, Mesa. And then Shabbos came to an end. Donkey died. Okay. Now, obviously, a lot of questions. So let's start off. You already can get, I bet if I polled, we would guess all the questions of the Gemara. Let's go through the Gemara inside. So first of all, it's honey. We're talking about edible food. Take it off the donkey. It's not mukta. What's going on over here? The answer is the Gemara kishahidvish. The honey went sour. It went bad. So in other words, it's unedible honey. So hidvish lamai chaze. What is Rabbi Gamliel doing? Right, having his donkey transport sour honey. Right, on erev Shabbat. Answers the Gemara leketita de Gamlei. We talked about this earlier in the Masechta. Right, six parak of Shabbos, if I remember correctly. That was a guess, but probably a good one. So the it's used as medicine for the cuts of the camels. I mean, your camel gets a cut, so what do you use? Spoiled honey.
Sour honey.
V'yater chaval v'yiplu sakim. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, good. I understand he didn't take it off because it's muksa. Okay, but we know what to do with muksa that is saddled to your donkey. Unsaddle it. Untie the saddle and let it fall on its own. So the Gemara says, Mitztaru zike. So the Gemara says, what's going to happen is that it's going to fall to the ground. The bag is going to break open. Honey all over the ground. You're going to lose it all. V'yavi karmuksasos v'yaniach tachteyem. What about pillows? Just put pillows underneath to break the fall. Mitanfe v'kamavato klimei chano. You see there, the pillows are not going to help, because yes, it's true the pillows will break the fall, but it's also true now the pillows are going to get saturated with spoiled honey, with sour honey. And you're not going to want to touch those pillows, and you've now immobilized the pillows, and you're mevato kli mehechano. V'ha'ika tsar balei chayim. And so now, cruelty to the animal. And what about tsar balei chayim? And so you're causing undue pain and distress to the animal. And how can you do that? Get ready for this answer. Rabbi Gamliel's of the opinion. Now it happens to be not the accepted halachic position, but we're talking about this is an episode dealing with Rabbi Gamliel, and he's of the opinion that causing distress and pain to an animal is an Isser d'Rabbanan, but not an Isser d'Oraisa. And now, right, the Gemara's finished talking, so let's now fill in the blanks. And so now, let's put everything in its context. Muksa's derabanan. And so now, this is where it gets interesting. Rabbi Gamliel says, I have the Isser of Muksa. Yeah. I have the Isser of Tzar Baalei Chaim. They're both Isseri Derabanan. Now, why did he put the Isser of Muksa above the Isser of Tzar Baalei Chaim? Meaning, don't be emotional about this decision. In other words, let's, you know, be we're lawyers, right? We're going
to
be.
Would Rabbi Shimon agree with Rabbi Yehuda? This Muksa.
Let's assume just to have this discussion. Let's assume it's Muksa. So in other words, right? Correct. In other words, right. And Phil said it very well. Meaning, what came? In other words, again, the legal mind. So what came first? The Isser of Muksa came first. So now, Tzar Baalei Chaim. Yes, the animal will experience pain, but that's an Isser Derabanan. It's interesting. There is no place in the Torah where the Torah says specifically, "Don't cause pain and distress." Yes, we have Oso Vespino. Yes, we have Shiloh HaKein. Yes, we have a lot of mitzvahs that speak to Tzar Baalei Chaim, but there's nowhere in the Torah that actually says don't cause pain to an animal. And so therefore, according to Rabbi Gamliel, who said Tzar Baalei Chaim is an Issa Durabanan, so Muksa is put in front of it. The accepted halacha is that Tzar Baalei Chaim is an Issa Daraisa. So now, given that so then we would opt with putting Tzar Baalei Chaim in front of the Isser of Muksa. Okay, very interesting Gemara. So again, what do we do today? So we basically, today's Gemara in summary is very easy to summarize. We talked about the Isser of Mechamer. So what is it? Three options. Two Rami Bar Chamas, one Rabbi Yochanan. And then we talked about unloading the donkey on Shabbos. Okay, how do you do it? The suggestion of Rav Huna putting pillows underneath. Carefully. What about being mevatel kli me'echano? We sidestep that because you're gonna roll it off. And then we talked about the donkey of Rabbi Gamliel, and he did not unload. We explained why. What about Tzar Baalei Chaim? We discussed that as well. Okay, very interesting daf today. Okay, we'll stop over here. Continue to refuah shleima for Binyamin Zevakon ben Sharon Rivka, for Falls like Avram ben Yakira Avigail, Rabbi Hananya ben Akash Amaratzak, Ashbach Zaki Sofi, Chachir ben Tom, Mr. Shenema Necha, Fates Matsiko, Yagdil Karavi Adil.